you can say whatever you like on this. Not many people listen to it.
Yeah. The 21 people that watch it, you'll be right.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not the people you know anyway.
Yeah. Oh,
okay, right. Let's just put this up here.
Yeah. Well, you can tell who's
it's like,
having a look.
Yeah.
It's like we're flying a plane, chisel.
I've seen a few. I had to look at Mick Davis's.
Yeah, yeah.
I look at that.
But, I think your name got dropped in Mick Davis's.
Did it? Yeah, well, probably.
Probably.
Mick takes every opportunity he can to take the piss out of me.
I don't think you're alone there, to be honest, Chisel.
Anyway,
we're good?
Yeah, we're good. That's good. Welcome to In the Green Room. I think it's episode 6.
I have no idea. It's round 9, so we've missed three.
We missed a couple, yeah. Yeah.
And that's my fault. I'll put my hand up here.
That is your fault.
I'll tell you one man who's never missed anything. The last man to catch a train from Merriweather into the junction.
A train.
Chisel Gill. A coal train.
We told
that off air just before.
That was Merriweather Street to Bull Street, yeah.
Really?
Back in the day when there was overhead bridges and train tracks.
The coal train used to run down Morgan Street. The pit head up at Morgan Street.
Yeah.
Down to Ridge Street. Then from the corner of Ridge and Morgan, it went to the corner of Merriweather and Caldwell.
Yeah.
And then down Merriweather, behind here, down behind the Junction School, then left to the Junction, and then down, so you've got Bruce Street, Corlett Street, mm-hmm. used to run down behind the houses, down behind the cricketers.
Yeah.
Civic Park.
Right.
So, Dad's parents lived down here. It was the last house the hospital took.
Mm-hmm.
And Mum's parents lived in Bull Street.
Right.
So I'd grab a coal truck.
Yeah.
And I'd ride it, jump off of Bull Street.
And that's how we used to train.
That's how you used to train. Yeah.
Jumping off and on trains. Yeah. A few people lost their arms, bit of skin off.
Get down to Bull Street, get a kick up the ass from my grandmother, covered in coal dust.
That's unbelievable. Yeah. That's a good story, one of many, I'm sure. How old were you when that was happening?
Oh, mate, I'd have been 9 maybe. Mm. Yeah.
So I
can't remember when the old train left. I can't remember.
So you were a proper local. Obviously, you've been around the club since it was started.
We go back to the old man he played and his brother and Mum's brother. They're up there. The 47. They played 47 first grade grand.
And was that Walter? Was it Walter?
Keith Gill, and Jack Jones.
Yeah.
And your brother.
Brother played.
Yeah.
And the two boys.
Yeah.
Your brother was also Michael.
We know the two boys.
And
for our audience out there, you're our favourite girl, let's be honest. It goes you, Brad, probably Kingswood Clyde.
Yeah. Fletcher. I'll get that.
So your old man played in the 40s.
1940s. Yeah, he played 16s through to first grade. Yeah.
Yep.
And they in those days there was a big deal if you went to league, that was it. That chance you're coming back to uni.
Really? Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
That was still the case when I was playing, right through to probably when they turned professional.
Yep.
20 years ago.
I think Mick shared it on Facebook. To be honest, that your dad went out into the bush, or was it?
He was playing for Carlton's.
Yeah.
And he was playing socially on league on Sundays with blokes he worked with.
Yep.
So that might have been a second division comp, I'm not sure. And old Spider Clark said, mate, hey, give up the league, you can't do it.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't. And he said, well, get stuffed. And he went and played with South.
Yeah.
So then he got a job coaching up in Buck Alden.
Yeah, that was it.
So that was the year I was born.
So you were born. You were born up there.
No. I was born up here at Hillcrest.
Yep. The old.
It's like
when you come from Nelson Bay and you're born behind the Groper Dome.
Yeah. Something like that. So I'm born in September. So I'm. Mum was up there, so I guess she's come back and had the and me, and then gone back up to Buckhorn. They had 2 years up Buckhorn. Yeah, he played for Central. He played against Brisbane.
Yeah.
For coming, what they call it, Central West, I think, Queensland. And he played against Brisbane, and he played against France.
Yeah, so, wow.
Yeah, so that would have been an experience.
Back when they toured, and the French were thugs, and
they were. But I'd say the bar called the boys be pretty up there to themselves.
Yeah. And
I'm sure there was no brie cheese going around after the game.
Probably not.
Or cabin bear.
Probably not.
And so your dad won the, 47?
Yeah, 47 grand final. Then he went to South, and Barcorn, they won the first year he was up there. He was captain coach at Barcorn, and they won the comp.
Yep.
Up there. Yeah.
And then, so how did you? When did you start playing? Do you remember your first game or anything like that?
Was it Merriweather Cardinal or just Cardinal?
No. We lived out at Shortland.
Yep.
I played for the Devils.
Oh, you did. Yep.
Yeah, Shortland Devils. And then. The old man got moved to Brisbane with work, and we were up there for 3 years, I think. I played Aussie rules and a bit of rugby, and then came back here.
I can see you in tight, bright white shorts.
Bright white shorts, yeah. Yeah, you know. Just
running around.
You've been talking to Mousy and South bloke. Yeah. Fair enough. But, so then we came down here and settled in Adamstown. I ended up playing with South, and they had a red hot side under 14s, and Johnny Davis and Dave Park and a few others. And then the next year, 65, we come and played 16s here.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And you never left after that, is that?
No, I had 3 years west in Canberra.
Oh, yeah, fair enough.
So that was 74,
good club too,
5, 6.
You only go to good clubs. That's what I like about you.
Well, mate, they were just around the next suburb, and I asked the estate agent, we're renting house, and he said, yeah, West Rugby Club. They had a rugby club and all.
Yeah.
And I went around there, and 72, 73 here, we had 4 teams in the grand final, and we won 5 of those and had a draw.
Yep.
Then I went to West and they had 4 teams in the grand final, won all 4. So it was a good club. Well, there was two Wallabies at West.
Yeah.
Current Wallabies, then current Wallabies.
Yeah.
They were a good side, yeah.
What brought the move from South to the Greens? What was...
Well, I don't know, mate. I can't really remember that. Johnny Davis' brother Steve had come over from South to Carlton's that year or the year before, so maybe that was the reason. But there was 6 or 7 of us came out of that South side.
Yeah.
But came over and played, and then we won under 16 grand final 66. And a lot of those blokes, Peter Prince, John went to Randwick, but Johnny Trevelyan, Dave Park, Princey, there was, 8 or 9 out of that mob that, stayed with the club right through, yeah.
Is that the same year as Bullet Fisher, or is he a bit younger?
He's a bit younger.
Yeah.
So he came along a bit later, thank Christ. I had, let alone Fisher.
I was going to say that would have been an even better mix of people. Because you grew up with some of the greats and you played with some of the greats of the club.
Yeah.
And was this the stage where you were all living at Mitchell Street?
No, We went with the Mitchell house. It was over there, Mitchell Street,
we're
just over there.
Yeah.
There's 2 houses.
Right behind the old scoreboard?
Yeah, pretty well. Where those flats are.
Those red brick flats are.
Yeah. That was one of the dumbest things I ever did. I was about 19 or 20, and yeah, beauty. Well, we've been in the Carlton house, me and Johnny Trevelyan and Graham White. Weekend there were never less than 20 blokes, unbelievable.
That doesn't sound dumb to me.
sounds like a good time.
We put on a hungy in the backyard there one night. There must have been 100 people there. We had a husband and wife swaps. We had... I was going to buy that a swap that night. It had one in Graham Wise's bed. Going on here.
Jesus.
So
it was back in the day where one key starts all.
We had, You know Wayne Aoki?
Yeah.
He put the hungy down and he was supposed to come dig it up. So anyway, come 11.
Is he still playing?
Probably. Couldn't find him. So we set off two or three cars to go and find him. He's turned up about 2 a.m. pissed and dug up and then digging it up and he had no shoes on. Cut his foot, blood everywhere in the food. Just a bit of marinade. So yeah. But it was just a nightmare living there. I lasted over a year or 8 months, I suppose. Longest year of my life.
How long did we have the house for?
We had one for a long time. I don't know, that went back 10 years. So that's 72, 73 I was in it. And that one we bought that year, 72, somewhere about there.
Right.
And then they sold them. I'm not sure.
It was in early 2000, was it?
I think it was before that, yeah.
Late 90s. Yeah. No, I remember the 80s. I think it was late. The last one was sold late 90s.
Had to be early 80s, I'd say. Because I know that we had to change the constitution to deal with the money.
Yeah, right.
From the houses. So that was the 80s.
Yeah.
What was the why did the club decide to buy houses? What was that all about?
Oh, mate, that was old Spider Clark. He absolute champion. To make a quid. The plan, there certainly was a plan in the 70s and 80s to have a clubhouse over there.
Right.
Sounds like there was a bit of a clubhouse there.
Well, to be honest. The people who lived next door to us, they'd been there quite a while, you know. Anyway, Spider was around there all the time, you know. Pull your heads in, you know, bloody wake up yourself, stop the noise, stop swearing, bloody, yeah. So, but that was the plan. So that was, and I think that became, they accepted that was never going to happen. So they sold.
Could you imagine if the club had held on to them to now?
Oh, well, mate, you would look at $5 million something.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Didn't we have taxis as that? Did we own taxi plates or something at one stage too?
Could have done. I don't know. I'm not sure about that. But
Harpy's got it.
It's possible. See, Spider was. But he was unbelievable. I mean, you had to pay your fees and you had to pay $2 a week for some reason. I can't remember why, you know. And, where's your $2, Bob? I haven't got it. And he'd stick he had one of those old nib pens.
Yeah.
He'd just dip in the ink and it was like, damn it in your arm. Okay, Ted, okay. Jesus. But he was a Terrigo. He never played, but he was around from right at the start.
Yeah.
Him and old Doc Morgan. And, whatever money the club had, he went through the depression and all the rest of it. I mean,
So he's frugal with his money.
Oh, mate, he couldn't get that. He was a big collector, but paying out, no chance.
So was that around, you were 19 or 20, was that around when you started playing first grade?
My first introduction to grade was I was still playing 18s, and three of us, the first year they had fourth grade comp, they're in the grand final, and in the fourth grade was all the old blokes, bloody rat bags. So they called three of us up, rather short, we were playing in the fourth grade grand final. They won that, so that was called the President's Cup.
Yeah.
So, of course, Fordham and NJ and all those blokes, it's a World Cup. So, yes, I think the sign's on the thing downstairs, 1968 World Cup.
Is that what that is, is it?
Yeah,
right.
So after that, then they had, like every year they have a World Cup ball.
Yeah.
Which was just a piss up in the green room on grand final day, whether we were in it or not. Fordham and NJ just made this huge big deal out of this fourth grade side. They had reunions every 5 minutes, Unbelievable. I went on until Fordham.
Passed on. He used to come up every year as well.
Well, yeah, he came up, mate. No, he was, he was, He was a Wanderers bloke.
Yeah.
And he was a sports reporter for the old Newcastle Herald.
Yeah.
Newcastle Sun. And he came here one night and it pissed down. It was mud. The ground was all mud. And he came to interview whoever it was, one of the first graders about the game coming up. The boys kidnapped him, took him down the steps, put him in the big sloppiest muddy. Just dumped him in it. He had his coat, tie and everything on. And after that,
He never left. And it used to be awesome when he'd come here, and I got on quite well with him. He helped me out with a bit of stuff early on in the piece, and he was always very good at that. He'd help anyone, you know.
He'd help anyone. He had some great contacts. He'd stitched the deal up with 2 weeks to put all the plumbing and all that sort of stuff.
And he was when we used to have the day on the green, he used to get the jerseys and all that sort of stuff.
He had some great contacts.
I remember, and I'm talking about myself now, I shouldn't be, but there was one time and I had the album out and it was number one. He said, that's awesome. Yeah. I'm going to ring my mate, Dennis Hanlon, who was the head of Sony in Asia Pacific. So we're in the green room. He said he talked to him. And I'm talking to the head of Sony and got a meeting with him and that.
He was great. He managed like John Laws.
He was the kingmaker kind of, wasn't he? He
turned Mark Taylor, Eric Stewart. There's old
Joey. He had Joey and Maddie. Maddie left.
So he went, and if you go down to the cricket, we used to occasionally go to the cricket, you'd end up at the Wallara pub.
With
Mark Taylor and Chappell, and the All Blacks coach. The guy that coached the All Blacks when they had the World Cup here, I can't remember his name. But he was there. I mean, he had all these.
Yeah. Was it Henry? It was Henry.
Can't remember his name. But he was a nice bloke. But, he had some unbelievable contacts.
Mm. Yeah, cool. And you've obviously, that's one name to mention, but there's a myriad of others that you've been around.
Well, look, we came here 16s, so presentation night for the under-16s end of the season. Guess what it was? Keg in the green room. Right, after that, then they brought this old bloke, Terry Lane, along to tell stories.
Yeah.
And we're sitting there going,
blokes
do that? So we were gone.
Yeah, yeah. So how many kegs do you reckon you've had in the green room?
When you first came in the grade, you had to carry them up the stairs.
Yeah.
An old keg. 18-gallon wooden kegs.
not the proper ones.
The old green room didn't have that glass across. It was it was just a box. That thing on the side wasn't there. So it was just a box with only those two windows facing the scoreboard. and that was a change room.
Yeah, yeah.
So, women weren't allowed in that place. And the other side got changed underneath. And, you stayed there. I mean, sometimes till 3, 4 o'clock in the morning.
I don't think things changed that much, did they?
Well, probably not. Years. I mean, the pubs closed at 10 in those days, so, the alternative was to end up at the Greek clubs in town. And there were some of the old, early nightclubs. But, Beck could sing. Beck used to work at the clubs. He could sing. High Noon was the early favourite, and then later on Bojangles.
High Noon, Bojangles.
Yeah.
I wish I was around in those days.
Well, I mean, there's a couple of blokes to sing. There's a bloke called Ian McRae, the grub. He used to sing Jerusalem.
Nice.
Jerusalem. Oh, right, get him off. Right, buddy. So it was, but Beck was good. Beck was, and he'd have 1,000 jokes. He was my first coach in grade, and you'd run up the field one end, and he'd get this end and tell a joke, or he'd talk about what he'd done on that weekend. Then he'd run up there and they'd get it again. Like you're sitting in the middle of freezing, and so that was him, mate. He was a funny man.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And so you go when. So then you won fourth grade. So when did you start playing first grade? What's
69? I left school, so I'd be first year in grade was 69. And so I played second grade, played about three first grade games that year, three or four, mainly second grade, won the second grade grand final.
Mm-hmm.
So that was Kenny Raisbeck, coach, Raisbeck's Raiders, 69. And then 70-71, we sort of – we didn't do anything. We didn't go nowhere. Not all that successful. 72, we got beat in the grand final, first grade grand final. That was the first year we had four teams in the grand final. And we got beat in the first grade by Waratah.
Yeah, right.
So they had hit well.
Yeah, I was going to say that there was that's a strong Greens contingent that went to Waratah as well, wasn't it? Because John Hitwell played here first, yeah? Nah. And they went and started Waratah.
Cyril Burke's a long way before. So Johnny Hitwell's playing the 70s. Cyril Burke's the 40s.
Yeah, right.
50, early 50s.
That's a fair gap.
So it's Cyril Burke, yeah. There was two blokes, Cyril Burke. Cyril Burke played juniors here. And then him and another bloke, Ernie Howarth, they started Waratah.
So yeah, right.
Yeah. I think Ernie Howarth played for New South Wales from here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, of course, Cyril Burke played for Australia.
Yeah, mate. Yeah. Cyril Burke played for Australia. Yeah, he's a character. And then it's the 70s, it was Hipwell. They had a few. I mean, they had a few Wallaby halfbacks out there well, after Hipwell. I'm trying to think who they were, but I can't think of their names. But there was a couple. There was certainly one to play a few tests, yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. They haven't got a club now anyway, so there's nowhere to hang them.
That club. So the next year, 73, we beat them in the grand final. Of course, you know, made dickheads of ourselves. We went out to Waratah.
Was that when the years, like, you played the grand final at the home, like?
Home and away?
Yeah. Was it because we played Waratah in a grand final here, didn't we, when?
No, it's played a semi.
Or was that a semi-final, the one that...
It was always at number two, and then they had match of the day at number two,
yeah.
And the teams used to go up to the old rugby club in New Common Street, Newcastle Rugby Club. That was an old terrace they did up opposite the entrance to the Newcastle Club.
Yep.
And, it was a great club, and plus we had Noel Jackson, who was our World Cup player.
Yeah, yeah.
He was a secondary manager, so... Plus a couple of blokes behind the bar, so pretty handy for us.
Yeah, right. So match of the day was standalone. Was it a Saturday, Sunday? Was it?
No, Saturday, yeah. So whatever the match of the day was, you lost your home game.
Yeah.
And you played number two, yeah.
Do you reckon they should do that now?
But it was good. They used to put on, like, soup and all that sort of stuff up there, rugby club.
What, soup or soup?
Soup. They had a restaurant up there. It was pretty good. Doug Murray's sister used to work there, Sylvia.
Oh, still, yeah.
Yeah, and then a couple of squash courts underneath down the bottom over the old.
Yep.
What's down the bottom, and they had a car park around the back, which you accessed off King Street. Yeah.
Yeah. Well.
That was a good club, but they Wanderers blokes managed to stuff it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's what happens.
They used to get all the people in from James Fletcher Hospital, and all the typesetters and that out of the Herald.
Yep.
And they used to. Basically, that's where they made their dough.
Yeah.
And send a few people back to James Fletcher.
And then Wanderers blokes got involved and decided, well, nah, we can't get the Newcastle club, so we'll make this exclusive.
Oh, right.
So you need the card and all that sort of stuff. And they
ruined it. They ruined it.
Sold it. Yeah. Stuffed it.
Well, they didn't have proper drinking there anymore.
No, that's probably right. But I mean, all the time, all the nurses, the staff, and all were coming out of James Fletcher. I mean, they were mad. No, we were.
Mm.
They were as nuts as
it. That's the staff.
Yeah. Plus the typesetters, they were pretty heavy doers, yeah. Out of the Herald.
The typesetters?
Set the type up on the paper. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, so how long did you play first grade till?
Then 74, I went to Canberra.
Oh, right, okay.
And won two first grade grand finals there. Never won one here, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But yeah, won two at West. Came back 76, had my own business, so was playing, you know, a bit of first grade, but mainly lower grades.
Yep. Yeah. And you coached as well? Did you win a grand final coaching?
I did a junior. Yeah, we won a couple of junior ones.
Yeah.
We had a lot of rat bag. We started again, Nick Hathley, Martin Carlson. Michael O'Sullivan. They're good kids. They were some good kids in that. Cole Lippiatt. And when we were playing juniors, the old Flemo used to have the paper shop.
Yep.
Down where Ray Robbo's is there on the junction. And he coached us. We used to train at the park opposite the paper shop. And but he used to take us away for a weekend. We'd go away, sleep on the beach, you know, surf, keg. So I decided to take these kids away. Oh, Christ. And we went down to West, actually, to play in the Sevens comp. Mm. We had a 20-seater bus, mate. They stole the bus. Running all over Canberra trying to find it. Unbelievable.
So it's just in that, what's the wildest era you've seen at Carlton?
Mate, wildest was probably the early 70s. I mean, you know, I was away for a while. I mean, when the kids were born, they were playing sport, and I was away from the place a bit. But I mean, you used to get away with a lot of stuff, especially the old group, because they didn't have $5 billion houses around them, and not many people got a car, it was the bus trips were unbelievable. I was interested to see one of the old blokes, Padgio, had a shot at Billy Dunn. There was a thing in they'd been to Bathurst this year or last year, and there was an article in the newsletter, I've had a great time Bathurst, this all that, and we're always welcome back. We never got us back. Sometimes we didn't even last the trip. Get out of town. We got thrown out of Corindai.
The grasshoppers.
Yeah. And we went on a bus trip to Noodles. They organised a game against the submarines in town, HMS Navy. So we played the crew here. And then we went down and played them down there. And we stayed at Navy House. I'm not sure where it is, where it was. I'm not sure still there. But it was a big old 3, 4, 5-story building built around a courtyard.
Yep.
And we're in this dormitory. There's about 20 double bunks in it. Yeah, we're all burnt out, the booze. We're back there. And Jory Trevelyan had, that's a big fire hose, big canvas hose with a dirty big brass nozzle on it. And he's filling around with it. And Fordham turned it on. So this jet of water, the pavilion went about a foot off the ground when the water comes through. And there's blokes on top of bunks looking around, like hitting the head and knocked her. So this, it's out of control, this bloody hose.
Was that when you were wearing the Navy jerseys or prior to that?
The Navy jerseys.
Was it the RAF jerseys?
Was it the Navy or the RAF?
The RAF. The RAF was, So we played the RAF in a trial game, and some of the boys got into the jerseys, and I got one. So, boom, dickhead, I've turned up to training the next night with the RAF jersey on. Here's the MPs. Wait a minute. Yeah, come here. Get that off. Yes, sir. No.
Sorry.
That was me. Early lesson. Once you get those, just put it away. Stays hidden. Yeah, that was absolute rough.
That's wild.
Yeah, but that was a big thing. Yeah, I mean, there was a few. Well, actually, I probably got that from the old man because he had Uber.
It's gone down the generations.
Yeah, well, too. Mick
was good at it.
Mick, yeah, well, I don't know about that, mate, because he knocked off mine and Brett's. So I don't count that, mate.
true.
Well, it's a bit. How many jerseys do you think you've got?
Well, it's funny because Mick got them, and then I had a phone call from him a couple of years ago. He said, "I've got to give you these jerseys back." I said, "What? What are you talking about?" Brooke didn't want them in the house. Get them out. I said, "Yeah, bloody." this week. So, anyway, he's brought them over, and I said, "This is not all of them." He said, "Oh, I kept the good ones." I said, "Yeah." So yeah, so he's Brooks bloody jumped on his head. He's jumped to us. Yeah.
And obviously, and Mick and Brad both played here, and both had varying success. Both really good football.
Brad played. He played juniors here and played a lot of country juniors up to country under 21s. And he played New South Wales 19s. And he went to Canberra. Went to Sydney. Yep. Played with Ram.
Yeah, that's right.
Played in first grade. Won a comp down there. Yeah. So he went all right. Then he's gone on. Done really well coaching.
Obviously. And teaching and that,
I don't know if he does much teaching. I don't know how much teaching.
He's a good mentor.
But, you know, he's coached Australian school boys.
Yeah, that's right,
and all that sort of stuff. Mick got into the Junior Knights squads early on. And
Manly.
And got cut from the Knights and went to Manly. Yeah, come back, played with South in Carlton, Yeah, so and won a grand final. Yeah, good on him.
That's really cool. So, through your career, and I know we haven't got that much time, but who's the best person you played with? Who's the best player you played with?
Oh, best person I played with. Well, there's two blokes, I suppose. Both of them come out of that CS under 14 side.
Yep.
Peter Prince, I mean, he was early on, before CS, he'd been playing a lot of soccer and that, and he played fullback in the league, and he ended up coming into grade, playing second row here, back row, played with country.
Yep.
So he played about, because in those days, internationals used to be a tour, so they'd play New South Wales, Queensland, country, Sydney, then Tess. Prince, he played probably six internationals for country.
Yeah.
Got invited to a Wallabies trial.
Yeah.
Not particularly a brilliant player, but I mean, he had a big motor.
Yeah.
Just
tough. Kept,
yeah, never saw him go down. Mm. Yeah. And Johnny Trevelyan, he would have been a Wallaby.
Yeah, well.
He was getting selected in country behind Hipwell.
Yeah.
As a backup, and he developed a blood clot in his leg about a month after the 73 grand final.
Yeah, well,
so he's only 23 years old, never played again.
Yeah, well.
And the next Wallaby halfback after Hipwell was a bloke called Gary Gray from Coyama. Another country bloke, and his prince, and really would have been in front of him. So,
yeah, well.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, He was captain, and he pretty well. When he'd gone to Sydney for a couple of years, came back in 72, and he basically got us all fired up and organised.
Yeah.
Come on, we're going to be fair, Dick.
Because
we've been pissing up and
having
not
a good
playing,
time,
but we're not going anywhere for 1970, 71. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, so there's probably two blokes that I probably was lucky to play with you.
And what's your best memory of the club? Sorry.
Yeah. Best memory of the club? Oh, not Al Knights in the green room, mate.
Yeah. Were they memories? Some of the stuff. Can you remember?
Well, yeah, I can. And but, I mean, it was – that glass wasn't across the front. So it was just a box with those two windows and no licence, nothing. And, food fights, bloody, just – Beck singing, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just unbelievable. And I heard Mick talk about the bike upstairs.
Yeah.
Well, he wasn't the first. There's a bloke called Brian Wolfenden, I think. But he had a bike, not a bloody scooter. Got it upstairs. And where the old showers were?
Yeah.
Urinal. So he's there. And we've got these trestle tables. And it's all set up going out the window. So we had about four goes at that. The cables kept collapsing. Thank God. I don't know what would happen if you'd gone out the window. But yeah, so that was the first bike.
That's wild. I was going to ask, who's the not just the guy that you, not one that you play with? Who's probably the best player you've seen come through the greens?
Oh, best player. What, from juniors?
Well, just that, yeah, that's played for probably, you know, in grade.
I like, well, I'll talk about the current players because that's, yeah, I mean, I like Rousey.
Yep.
He looks like he's a special player. I like Lockie Miller. Reminds me a lot of Peter Prince.
Yep.
He's just hard, keeps going. And both of them like to play up.
Tough.
Yeah, and he's tough. And they're the sort of, I mean, we're a good young club. That's what I like. What's really pleasing about it right now is a lot of young blokes and a lot of good club blokes. Mm. They are club blokes and they're enjoying the club. They're enjoying playing here, enjoying each other's company. Yeah, it's good. But, yeah, I saw Jay Strawn come through from Colts.
Mm.
I mean, he's, obviously one of the outstanding players the last 10 years or so.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. And another one that's good off the field.
Yeah, but, yeah, he likes to talk. but it's good to see. I mean, in the summertime, we'd have, you know, a dozen, 20 blokes on the footpath down the bird playing Lies Dice. And these blokes, where you go, when you see them around town, there's always a group of them.
Yeah.
I mean, they hang around together. You know, I like young Luke Corrigan. He's a good goer.
He is a goer.
I mean, there's some good – I mean, I'm leaving blokes out that probably don't want it, but I mean –
us too as well. That's fine, Chisel.
Yeah, they're good. there's some good it's a good young club.
Yeah.
They like playing here. They like being with each other, and they turn up for each other, so it's good.
Mm.
Yeah.
Now, I've got a viewer question from Mick Gill.
Oh, yeah.
He wants to know why he was such a great kid growing up.
Shit of a kid, mate. The absolute shit of a kid. Mate's five. Mate, you know, I said, how am I going to get rid of this? You know, what can I look? I mean, I went in, the old David Jones, right?
Yeah.
So I'm in there and I've got him. I mean, the last thing I ever want to do any time is to take him with me anywhere. So I must have been looking for pants or something. So there are all these shirts and pants on coats on racks, right? He's running through them and they're falling on the ground. I said, get it. And anyway, so I've gradually got him by the back of the collar. So he's come out of there. There's probably 20 people there. And he's gone, and they were looking at me, blood. I said, you bastard. So, mate, he probably totaled his sister's birthday party. He's probably totaled two or three of them. Girls with cream in their hair and bloody heart of sauce all over them.
I actually saw a good photo with – it was himself, I think Matt Davis and someone else at Mavis in the old caravan park at Bluey's when you used to go away.
that was a goodie.
Oh, I could imagine. Mick, you could imagine them all together.
Mick Davis and Matt, he might have been a – he might have been a brain surgeon. He tied up with Mick Davis. Lynn and Steve Davis got like the answer for him. So that was a good role model. He picked Mick Davis. Shit of a kid. Shit of a kid.
And as we always say, I know before we get going, trip away.
Yeah, end of season trip.
End of season trip. You've got to pick three people. Pugger and I coming anyway.
Righto.
Who are you picking?
Well, I've got to pick Peter Prince. Yeah, I mean, we're pretty well joint the hip everywhere he was, I was, buddy. Dave Fordham. I mean, he had so many contacts. I mean, this is John's brother, about a year older than me. But, he just knew what was going on. Mm. Mate, he took us to a wedding reception once. Had no idea who the people were. No idea. We sat out, started eating and drinking.
The original wedding crashes.
Yeah.
And his favourite trick was, particularly Wanderers blokes, if they're getting married, you ring up the fire brigade. There's a fire at bloody St. Augustine's Church. So
it was one of the best lunches when those two were on stage, Dave and John.
And he'd cause trouble when the shit hit the fan. He was gone. He was out of it. You're on your own, in the middle of a bloody. So for him, Dave, probably Dave Park. Dave was a tough bastard, and he could fight. So if you got in a blue, I'd want Dave Park.
We need someone.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like it's going to be trouble for you.
Yeah. I mean, and if it's a triple A, you can't leave Becker here, mate. He's singing on the bus and telling jokes.
I can't believe that he's going to be the tame one.
Who? Bugger. mate. Well, Dave was pretty quiet, but, at least he could fight. I'm about 0 for 20. And he didn't mind a fight.
Really?
Yeah. But Dave still turns up. He's serving in the canteen down
here.
He's dropped a lot of size, but he was a hard bastard. Yeah.
Very good.
Well done. Thanks for that, Chisel.
Thanks for coming along.
Yeah, enjoy what you're doing.
Appreciate it.
Awesome. It's good. Yeah, it's good to have a true legend of the club.
This has been around a long time.
And a born and bred local as well.
Well,
You're a life member?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know. That was back in the about 86, but and I wasn't there, so I don't know. I didn't know I was nominated.
What do you mean you weren't there?
I wasn't at the meeting when they. I didn't know I was appointed. I didn't know I'd been. But yeah, about those. We had some big days. We had the Neil Adams Memorial match when we had Wallabies and that here, and the 50th anniversary, we had Wallabies playing here. That was a huge day. Neil Adams Day was huge. This joint was packed.
When was that? It was
1986.
Yeah, I think I've seen a photo of it.
Yeah. I know it's Ricky Stewart was here.
And
Fordham organised all that. So that was Nishi Haiti, who Noodles played Test with, the New South Wales games with. And they were good mates. And Fats Holder, who was a Wanderers bloke, but a good mate of Noodles.
Mm.
But they, and so. The John Hall side was about six Carlton blokes and a lot of country blokes, plus Wallabies, Billy McKidd and them. Shahady's side that Fordham organised with, I can't remember who the coach that was, but yeah, so it was a huge day and a good day. Greg Milton's, Lockie Milton's old man played there. And it was a huge day, but those sort of things, they're memorable. And then going to the old company week, that used to be at Eastwood.
Yep.
And there'd be Noodles, Fats, Billy Gunther from, where was he from? Tamworth or something like that maybe. And Hadja Palmer from down the Illawarra. And they'd all get together. They were great mates. And there'd be Wallabies floating around. And, there'd be 12 sides there over 3 days. They were trips. There's a lot of trips alike. And even in the summer, even the surf club, you'd be on.
True.
So, it was the bus trips were pretty
minimal. I'm surprised you even know what Merriweather looks like.
I spent a lot of time around here, mate. But, you can't. I mean, you can't get a park. There's bloody driveways. You can't park in driveways. But in those days, there was no cars, and you just, walk around. The bloke down at the zoo used to just say, well, I'm going to bed. Lock up when you go.
Really?
Okay? Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I've heard stories about a few pubs like that, Edgy Tavern and Archie Pub used to be like that. They used to leave the keys under.
They used to shut at 10 o'clock, so you had to turn the lights off. None of the locals complained. We knew we were supposed to be quiet, otherwise, but that didn't necessarily happen. we never got any problem. It didn't happen a lot, but occasionally you'd just say, "Look, I've had enough.
Yeah,
I'm locking up." Turn the lights off. Lock up when you leave. Okay.
Well,
that was Max.
Speaking about locking up when you leave, you two better do that because I've got somewhere to be.
Right, mate.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, mate. Cheers.
Well, yep.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on.
Yep, no problem.
All right. Beautiful. I've got to stay be sponsored, the Steel City sponsor too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been big fans of the show.
Massive fans of the show.
Don't have any at the moment because I had a few wines last night. Yeah. I had a few wines last night for my anniversary.
That's right. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You've got to drink them.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks, buddy.